Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
No one knows Guardians, Indians, professional baseball in Northeast Ohio better than this man. He is looking forward to what would perhaps be the 13th time that he has covered this franchise in the postseason. He is the pride of Cathedral Latin. In fact, so good they had to shut the school down after he was there. Of course, he's on the fan hotline. He's Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, how are you?
What's up, Hoynesy?
How you guys doing?
How'd you like your little intro there?
Well, buddy.
That was great. I did not shut Cathedral Latin down, but I played a part in it, probably, I think.
Between you, what, you and Colin Irish are probably two of the biggest names to come
Nothing
out of
wrong
there from
with
sports,
a mic drop
right?
From a school. Nothing wrong with a mic drop.
Wait, did you play baseball in high school? Did you play any sports?
No, I kept going out for sports teams, and I kept getting cut. So that shows you that I went to the right profession, or the wrong profession.
The problem is you started interviewing yourself after getting cut and go, well, what does it mean to you to get cut? And the next thing you know, hey, I can make a living out of this. Hoynes, just your thoughts on where we are right now, because the story, like I keep saying, this season has been a movie.
Yeah, I mean, this is who saw this coming?
Nobody.
Back in July, you're 15 and a half out. Tarek Skubal puts a dagger in your heart, in a three game sweep and at a Progressive Field. You think you're done, and I mean, even what as late as September 4th, they're 10 games out. I mean, this doesn't happen. You just don't come back like this, and it took two to tango, so to speak. The Guardians had to get hot, but the Tigers had to go ice cold.
Hoynesy, do you think there's a turning point that you're going to point to that is kind of like, okay, this is the moment that is standing out to me of when things started changing? And if so, do you have that moment that things changed, or was it just like, I don't know, all of a sudden they started winning?
Yeah, I think the most recent turning point, I think there's been a few of them, but I think when they went to the six-man rotation in September, I think that just kind of kick-started them, gave them some new life, and, they've been rolling ever since then. I mean, Messick lost last night, but that was the first real loss that they've had since they went to six starters.
Do you think when they decided to go to six starters that that's just kind of felt like, okay, we are going to plan this out. This feels really good. I really think this can give us a boost. Maybe we can let guys go a little bit long. Like strategically 100% thought that out. They're like, you know what? Hey, we just lost a starter. Let's go with a six-man rotation because a four-man rotation doesn't work. How do you think that went down?
Yeah, I think there was a couple things, Andy. You know, they needed – their bullpen was getting fried. They were missing Class A out of – so they had to cover the ninth inning. The five starters were, reaching their innings limits. So when the roster expanded to 28, they were able to fit Joey Cantillo in there as a sixth starter. And they really started, they started to get six and seven innings out of the rotation. And that covered the missing ninth inning, so to speak, in the bullpen. So, I think it was really out of necessity that they did it. And, and they were also looking out for their young arms as well.
Paul Hoynes, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer joining us. And, of course, you can listen to him on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast with Joe Noga as well, joining us on the fan hotline. The other thing with this run that's been amazing is the fact that they – went down into the minors and went and grabbed George Valera to come up here, a name that we've been kicking around for a long period of time, who's made a positive contribution to this team, not only in the outfield, but hitting two bombs along the way. Are you surprised that Valera has been as good as he has been in this run, Hoynsie?
We've been waiting for Valera. I remember watching him during the 2020 pandemic season when they held the workouts here at Progressive Field, and I really liked his swing. But you know, like you said, Dan, he kept getting hurt. I mean, he pulled a hamstring. He had the hamate bone. Then last year, he had 15 home runs in about 50 games at Columbus, and then he ran into the outfield wall and banged up his knee. It just seemed he was a hard luck guy. And even at the end of the year, they DFA'd him, then re-signed him. But you just never thought you'd see this guy up, but he's up now. I love his swing. He's got some pop, and he can go. He's a nice effortless swing. He can go the other way. And he really controls the strike zone. He's an interesting guy to watch.
Hoynsie, how married are they to Cantillo on Sunday? I would think, or Allen tomorrow. To be honest with you, you got to feel good about Ciccone tonight, right? And I'm not saying you don't feel good about Allen or Cantillo, but I mean, if you've got Williams on 5 days rest, is that right? Sunday, 5 days. Would you switch it out if you knew it was, do or die?
Yeah, I think if they need it, they'll go with their best starters, I would think. They haven't named a starter. At least I haven't seen a starter for Saturday and Sunday, either as Texas. So, I would think that's the problem, of being tied right now instead of having this thing under control. You've got to go with your best guys to get in, one way or the other. You can't wait now. I don't think they bring anybody back on short rest, but they certainly have to go with their best guys.
Is this the real Brian Rocchio, Hoynsie, that we've seen in the second half of the season? Because something has changed, and he's hitting now, and man, is it nice to see.
Yeah, this is what he did last postseason. What do they call it? October Rocchio or something. I think they have a name for it in the locker room, what he does, in the second half. And, he did hit a little skid there, but he's come back against the Tigers. Kind of a potent bat at the bottom of the lineup. He's stealing bases. And, you've got to love the way he moved from short to second base without missing a beat.
What does that mean for the future? I mean, we've both been watching him play. All three of us have been watching him play. He's been playing great. What does that mean for Travis Pizzano?
Yeah, this is really going to be interesting because, Arias has played great at shortstop. He's got a great arm. His arm, really plays well at that position. You've got Rocchio. Now you've got Pizzano coming up. I don't know. I think we'll finally get a look at Pizzano, hopefully in spring training next year. Hopefully he can stay healthy throughout the off season, and we can get a good look at him. But there's nothing wrong with having too many good players. So we'll see how it shakes out. But you can always make a trade. You can always move guys around. But it's really going to be interesting because Pizzano seems to be, at least to me, Andy, seems to be a one position guy. I don't think they're going to play him in the outfield, or they could move him out there. But he seems like he's a second baseman. He's a lot like Manzardo in that effect. That Manzardo's a first baseman.
Yeah. Let me ask you. I haven't had the opportunity. I've just been watching all the games on TV this week, and I can feel the energy jumping through the tube. I've had more than four or five people come up to me in the last 2 days that have said, I've been to the games over this week and it feels like the 90s. It really does. And give me the temperature of the room at the ballpark over the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been loud. It's, they've been oohing and ahhing on every pitch. Like it's a postseason game. I think Kwan said nobody's looking at their phones or eating their food when they're at the game now. They're watching every pitch. They're into it every pitch. You can feel it. And, there's people still lined up outside the gates, outside the Home Run Plaza when the game is going on. So, they've sold a lot of tickets. What, they drew 30,000 last night. Over 30,000 on Tuesday, and right around 25,000 for the middle game of the series. Yeah, they're drawing good crowds, and there's a fever pitch to it.
I'll get back to actual baseball questions in a second here, Hoynsie. I'm sorry. As someone who loves baseball, that's awesome. That makes me so happy.
You know what? Here's what I like about it, and I'll give
it's
you.
It's just awesome.
Let me give you an example. The moment hasn't been too big for CJ Cephas. That's what I love about it, right? You got all that energy in the ballpark. You got a young guy who's had a pretty good season between Columbus and here, and I'm watching him last night, you know, driving a run and go for two for two. And I love the fact that the moment's not too big for him.
Yeah, two straight doubles. I mean, he was the only guy that swung the bat besides Jose last night. Really hit the ball hard, looks confident at the plate. I really like him at first base. I think you're right, Andy. I mean, the moment is not too big. And they had Valera, they had Kyphus.
Yeah.
Two rookies in that lineup. Manzardo's pretty much a rookie. You know, this is his first full year. So that's a young, young team. And, you know, they're responding to this. I think they're having a lot of fun. It's, you know, even after the game last night, it didn't feel like a defeated locker room. You know, there was music playing, which you rarely hear after a loss. Everybody was smiling. I mean, they're really confident. They, you know, they've still got to get the job done, but, you know, they're riding the wave right now.
And that screams just how Stephen Vogt understands this ball club and how good that he's done with it, Hoynsie, because you're right, you don't hear that very often, but how impressed have you been with Stephen Vogt in year two and his understanding of his guys in that locker room?
Yeah, I think, you know, Dan, he might be doing a better job this year than he did last year. Hmm. I mean, he might be, you know, he might get more manager of the year votes than he did last year. I'm not sure, but, you know, he's really kind of steadied the ship. He has stayed the same guy. You know, like, I don't know what he's like behind the scenes or what he's had to, you know, how he deals with the players one-on-one. But no one is complaining. You know, everyone is saying that you know, he is the reason we're here. One of the big reasons we're here because, you know, he's the same guy day in, day out, win or lose. He never panicked when they were in the tank. And he's been the same since, you know, they've been winning every day.
All right, just your vibe from being around there. Are we talking about baseball next week?
Yeah, I do. I do think. I mean, this would, you know, I'm born and raised in Cleveland, so I'm always have that, you know, that dark cloud in the back of my head somewhere. But yeah, I think they're either in the wild card or they're the division champs come Sunday. After Sunday's game.
That's a beautiful thing.
Hoynsie, thank you. You know, we were talking earlier today about Ramirez getting a statue while he's still playing. I think they need to have a statue like 5 feet back from all the statues that are up there with you and Shelley and Ingram holding pads, holding reporter pads.
Can we,
right
can we get it where you could push a button and you get the hawk call?
Oh.
That's what we need.
We're all on walkers.
Stop. I saw Jimmy at the Browns game last week. He looks good, man.
He does look good. Definitely.
All right. Hoynsie, have fun this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
You're the man. Thank you.
All right, guys. All right. Thanks.
He's the best. Paul Hoynes closed out Cathedral Latin all by himself. Nice job, boys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
It's fun. Daryl and I did It's Always Game Day in Cleveland for so long. And then, you know, we kind of revamped kind of some of the things we were doing. And Daryl and I both sat there and we're like, well, we love doing these post-game show, so we continue to do those, and it's fun. I like doing that. We just had Paul Hoynes on. We'll talk a little Guardians, two keys, and a lock coming up here in just a moment.
A little bit of news coming down as well. The NFL has announced that they will play a minimum of 3 regular season games over the next 5 years in Rio de Janeiro. They've been playing them in Sao Paulo, Brazil, I should say. Now they are going to move it up to Rio de Janeiro. So the Brazilian takeover continuing of the NFL.
So wait, how many NFL games are out of country now?
So it'll be one a year that's down in Sao Paulo.
So that's just one.
Correct.
So if I got this right, NFL games, there's 7 regular season games played outside the United States in 5 different countries. Okay, so, and you're saying the Brazil game is going to just move venues.
Correct.
So they'll maintain that. Okay.
Correct. And it won't be the first week this year because of laws that are in place involving when high school football versus college football, that kind of stuff in the NFL could start. It will not be on that Friday. Because Labor Day is early.
Oh, okay.
So, yep.
All right. So that's interesting. So you 7. So that means that, again, you'll have 7. Like the, you know, like our game at in London is a home game for us, isn't it? I think we're the home team.
Correct.
Which means we lost a home game. But, that's why I think it's so important they do this now, so you don't really feel the effect of losing a home game, right? You do it now while you're in this odd 17-game schedule, you still feel healthy about having 8 home games, 8 road games, and then, it's actually more about the 8 home games, right? So you take the 8 home games. Some years you have 9, okay? But most years you have 8. Now when you go to 18 games, that's when they're going to have to lock in on this thing.
Well, it's not sounding as slam dunk on 18 as it once did.
So it also, if you look at it that way, so it's not so bad if they stay at 17 and they keep taking one. Like, I think everybody should have 8 home games. So why not just expand the neutral site stuff to encompass the entire league? Does that make sense?
Could you make that work where everybody would have 8 home games?
Well, that's what we've always had.
Right.
Everyone always has 8
so
home
yeah,
games.
You'd have to, so, yeah,
it's the 9th game that I'm talking about.
Correct. I know what you mean. So you could figure out how to do it somehow. We know how all of this is going. I mean, it's going to be, you're going to have X amount of home games, and then Lord knows if you're going to be in Paris, so like, if you're going to be in Germany, if you're going to be, in Canada, if you're going to be playing in Estadio Azteca down in Mexico City.
So here's the other way I see it, is that you take 17. So 16, sorry. You have 17 weeks. 16 games is the offset, right? Everyone has 8 home games. Everyone has 8 road games.
Correct.
So now you're down to 16 if you want to leave everybody at 8, which seems fair revenue-wise, right? So then you take away, 8 of those games and play 8 off-site games. So now you've already got 7 locked in, right? So you did one more. You know what the one more should be, let's be honest. No, 16, sorry. Yeah, my math is all messed up.
We should not be doing math.
No,
on the
we
fly.
Shouldn't. We shouldn't.
We know better. We're smarter than this.
You need not. You would have to move 9 games to somewhere else.
Right.
9 more games on top of this, mm-hmm. And you know who should get one is Canton.
Yes.
Give Canton one game a year that's meaningful.
I'd love it.
And you probably take the Hall of Fame game. And I know teams want to rotate through it, but it just seems a lot easier if it's.
Would you do
Pittsburgh, us, Buffalo, Cincinnati? I'm sorry.
Would you do that, or would you do it as some kind of like the Field of Dreams game that they do? Then they went down to Rickwood Field in Major League Baseball. So why don't you take that and let's say
I'm saying
it in Alabama, play it in Tuscaloosa, play it in at Oklahoma.
Go for it
for the Sooners. Like, I think that would be cool.
But what I'm saying is you now have 9 options to do that on top of the 7 that you're already doing.
Yeah.
So I'm saying give Canton one of those. So now you have 8 options if you want to go play a neutral site game at a college stadium, or if you want to play a couple more games in Canada, or if you want to go. Yeah. And that way, again, it's do it now while you're at 17 games. Because once teams get used to it, if you have 9 home games a year, your fan base should expect 9 home games a year because your season ticket holders are used to that. That's what it is. Let's think about the season ticket holders for a second. And you've guaranteed them their 8 home games. And so now if you want to add another, you want to play a game at the Rose Bowl, you want to play somewhere else.
I think that would be really cool if they would bring those stadiums in.
They just need, you know, again, you can do that 16 times a year. That's it. And I don't think, you know, does it bother you if you're going to go play a game at the Rose Bowl? What's the difference? If you're going to play in L.A., you're playing at L.A., right? SoFi hosts two teams. So.
Like it would be cool to put a game in certain college towns that don't see NFL games that maybe another group of people could see. Like it would be awesome to put a game in Montana. Put one in Missoula. That would be cool. It would be really cool if they put a game at BYU. You know, so then that way you can kind of see Utah, you know, a part of the country that typically doesn't see professional football.
Yeah, I would go to Rice-Eccles before I would go to Washington Grizzly. But yeah, I agree with you.
I don't know the area.
That's the minutia of it. Yeah, but I agree with you. I've always thought that. I mean, so right now they've got just different countries that are doing it. I thought that was interesting news.
Yeah.
Brazil, It'd Ireland, cool. United, England, Germany, and Spain is where they are right now. So what were we just talking about? We were going to go in a different direction here. I just forgot.
You ready for two keys and a lock?
Yeah, let's do two keys and a lock. Yeah,
let's do it.
Good idea. We welcome in Meredith Kane. Meredith, how are you?
Hi, gentlemen.
Was going to ask you about New Year's resolutions, we'll save that for another day.
My New Year's resolution is to be nicer to people because I don't think I'm a very nice person.
Wow. I never would have said that. Dan?
She's a delight. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know why you would go on.
Well, I'm nice to you guys, so I should be nice to more than just you two.
Okay. All right.
Let them earn it.
Right, we'll push that towards the other.
It's good to have goals in life.
Two keys and a lock. Key number one, the new and improved happiness. Go lucky Meredith Kane.
My first key, I feel like this is a no-duh moment and a very of course, but they got to stop the run because the Lions think that their run game is so impenetrable that Myles Garrett can't stop it. So stop the run. Prove them wrong.
Dan Menigan.
Find explosive plays for the love of God. You need plays that are over 20 and 30 yards. I don't care if it comes from Quinshon Judkins' feet or it comes from Joe Flacco's arm or it comes from Jerry Jeudy on end-arounds. I don't care. You need to find explosive plays. That is key number one.
Key number one, get to 21 for the life of me. I had something else I was saying. For the life of me, can this team please get to 21 points? The only way you're even going to have to be able to sniff any kind of win, you have got to get to 21 points against this Lions team. You must get to 21 points to win this game. Enough of the 19, 17, 16, 15. By the way, you lost a lot of those games too. What did we say? They've gone the last time the Browns got 20 points in a non-Jameis Winston game was December of 2023, Joe Flacco's first time through as the quarterback of the Browns.
Stat courtesy of our buddy Zach Jackson.
Yeah. Key number two. We'll go back to Meredith to start this again. Meredith.
Normally a key that I like to go to, it's my big go-to, is protecting the rock because that's another easy low-hanging fruit. But I think instead I'm going to say key number two, offensive line. Please protect Joe Flacco. Us millennials are old and tired, and he can throw really, really far if you give him the time. So that's my key number two, is protecting Joe Flacco.
Dan Menigan.
Us millennials. We're doing our best. We're trying. Slowly falling apart,
though. We're so old.
Exactly.
Geriatric, even.
Oh, my God. What does that make Gen X?
Key number two for me is exactly what Meredith's key number one is. Stop the run game of the Detroit Lions and make Jared Goff beat you with his arm. If you take away Jared Goff's running game and start getting some people around him, he will start to get a little uncomfortable in that pocket. If he starts getting uncomfortable, he'll throw some picks. He's seen it before. He's thrown five in a game before. Trust me, Jared Goff will throw picks if you make him uncomfortable. That's key number two.
Key number two for me, Joe, you keep doing what you do against the Lions. You are 3-0, my friend. Let's go for number four here. You've never been on the non-good side of a game against Detroit. Now, granted, you were in Baltimore for those three games, but Joe, you keep doing you, and let's hold them down to 21 points. I kind of threw two in there because I had two. Maybe I did three keys today. They've got to hold them under 21 points. Now, we saw Green Bay was able to do that earlier in the year. So I do think the Browns defense, if you want to compare them to Green Bay, knock yourself out. Look what they did last week. if they can hold Detroit to under 21, which would take a minor miracle because their running backs are off the hook good. Telling you, 21. 21's that number. They need to score more than 21, and they need to give up less than 21. Pretty simple. Time now for the lock. Meredith, give me a lock.
At least, bare minimum, 1.5 sacks for Myles Garrett.
Is that going on a limb, Dan? I don't know.
Two sacks a game is pretty damn good.
Yeah, you're going 1.5.
I'm saying 1.5 at least minimum, meaning I would not be surprised if he gets more.
You can share with Mason Graham, share with Isaiah McGuire.
That's where the half comes in.
Sharing means caring in the NFL. Yeah.
That's why I said half, because Myles Garrett is a very generous man and he does not mind sharing sacks, I don't think.
Yeah, let's be honest. They all sit around on a big green mat, sitting crisscross applesauce. And they're sharing things. That's great. Sharing is caring.
Sharing the pummeling of opposing quarterbacks into the dirt.
Yes.
It's a good share.
Yes.
My lock in this game is David Njoku catches a touchdown in this game. I think you see the tight ends be a huge part of it. They go after. Did I really? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did. You saw.
I think David Njoku has himself a game. I think it's time you start seeing those tight end screens, all that kind of good stuff that Kevin Stefanski was doing in the past. I think you see it in this game.
I will scratch mine out. Harold Fannin will have a touchdown then. Harold Fannin will have a touchdown today. So I thought one of the tight ends is definitely going to get in the end zone this game again. But then again, I say that every week, and I've been right. My locks have been pretty good so far. Well,
and that's where they've been able to attack. It hasn't been the outside as much.
Joe trusts the tight ends. Kevin trusts calling plays to the tight ends. That's the one consistent thing about the offense. And then we'll see what Quinshon. Did Quinshon have a touchdown this weekend? Yes or no? Thank you. He's going to say yes. Just say yes. Yes. It's easy. All right, let's come back. Tim May, super friend of the show, joins us next. Ohio State, Washington, in Seattle, tomorrow, 3:30. Talking about it next, Baskin and Phelps.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Six times these two teams have gone head-to-head. The Buckeyes walking away with 5 wins. That's right, 5 wins against the Washington Huskies in this, you know, history, big history between these two franchises, two schools, sorry. You know what? NIL, all that stuff, they're franchises. Let's be honest now. Ohio State taking on Washington 3:30 tomorrow. We need more information. Where do we turn? There's no question. He puts the Ohio in Ohio State Buckeyes. I don't know what he does. He's Tim May. Hi, Tim. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
Pretty good. Pretty good, man. What's up? I hope it's a stock market, but I don't know.
Are you in Seattle already?
Number three.
Yes.
I got about 3 hours sleep. I arrived at SeaTac Airport at midnight and finally got my rental car about 1:30, 1:45. So I'm not in a really good mood. That's 1:30, 1:45 PDT. Not EDT.
Oh,
hey, by the way, are you sure about that? Are you sure about that series? Because I know I've seen Washington beat Ohio State twice.
I got 5-1 here. I'm looking at the Ohio State. Unless this is this an old thing I'm looking at? I don't know.
I don't know, but I know Ohio State got beat 40-7 out here in '86. I covered that game, and then in '94, I thought they got beat out here. Maybe I'm wrong.
Hang on, I'm looking. '94, '95, they lost. 26-16. You're correct on that. I'm looking at OhioStateBuckeyes.com. Unless this hasn't been updated. Oh, maybe it hasn't been updated. I'm looking at. I have no idea. Do I need to give Jerry Amick a call? I don't know what's going on.
I know I've seen Washington beat Ohio State twice. It's what I'm saying.
So all right, maybe I'm just missing it.
I don't want your viewers who are getting ready to put down their last minute wagers.
Hang on.
To be skewed one way or the other. I know in '94 I was out here and Terry Glenn came out a day later because he had to get something straight with his academics or whatever. But in 94, I remember writing a story about how Eddie George kept running up the backs of his offensive linemen because he was impatient to get going and become the player he became a year later when he won the Heisman Trophy. And I know in 86, I wrote a story coming back on our plane. You remember our planes?
Yes, I remember our plane.
Yeah, but we were coming back, and matter of fact, the pilots took us out over, I think it was the year they took us out over Mount St. Helens, and we turned left. Anyway, that was a great thing about having your own airplane back then. But I remember writing a story about how Earl Bruce, I'm not sure this is going to last or whatever, you know, basically because they had been beating Alabama in the kickoff classic in 86, 16-10, and then got whipped out here 40-7.
Yeah, you're right. It's nine. It's nine to. Winsopedia's got it 9-3. So how could the Ohio State one be wrong? That's weird. Okay.
Anyway. Hey, maybe that means in Ohio, at Ohio State, but I don't know if Washington's ever beaten Ohio State. Anyway, who knows?
I think it may
be a misprint. Might have been a leftover from something else.
You know what it was?
Didn't change the number.
It was. I can tell you what happened. Uh-oh. It was current Washington Athletic Director Pat Chun, hearkening back to his days in the athletic office, and he went back in and fixed the. That's what happened. I'm telling you.
Oh, I got
Pride
you.
Of Strongsville. Yeah.
I've got him on the Tim May Show. My Tim May Show featuring Clay Hall. It's on there right now. You can check it out at fanstreamsports.com.
We've had him on here too. The Pride of Strongsville, there, ladies and gentlemen. The athletic director at Washington. How was the interview? What did he give you any insight?
Oh, he's excellent. Well, we just talked about the history, you know, whatever. We talked about what's coming, you know, why Washington fits, even though it's a long way away.
Yeah.
And it's a long way out here. And then basically kind of what's coming down the road in terms of maybe major college football and Big Ten and stuff. And, you know, let's all face it. The Big Ten's finally got to get the 20 teams. You got to figure one way or the other, but you got to figure out a way, like he and I talked about, you still got to figure out a way to have some continuity from year to year on who you play. You know, like the SEC, you know, keeping two or three of the rivalries going. I think the Big Ten has tried to do that too, obviously, but there's got to be something going from a continuity standpoint of like guaranteeing Washington plays Oregon and USC every year. Things like that, just to keep people having some type of historical reference.
Right, so, Tim, let me just ask you. I want to get to the game here in a second, but what two schools are you adding to get to 20?
Oh, I've said for a couple 3 years now, since they went to 18, I thought Notre Dame and North Carolina would be in the Big Ten by the time the dust settles.
But
the
Notre Dame makes sense.
And thank God those wildfires in Canada keep throwing dust up into the air, so I haven't been called yet.
Give me a third team. I didn't see this.
That was
one
good.
Thing. Yeah,
a third team.
Well, let's just say Notre Dame keeps saying that we don't want to be a part of the Big Ten. Although they are in hockey.
There was one point when
let's
they
not forget
be,
they're in the Big Ten in hockey. Let's not forget
there
that.
There was one point. Oh no, they're in all kinds of conferences except football.
Well, no, I'm just saying. But the hockey's in the Big Ten. Notre Dame hockey.
Almost all the rest of their sports are in the ACC.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
Go figure.
Yeah,
that doesn't
make sense.
This idea they're going in conference, they're just talking about football. And why that has to be the one tradition that carries through in college football, despite everything else getting blown up, is beyond me. Absolutely beyond me. But I don't know. You know, there's been talk about possibly Virginia fitting, but I think North Carolina would be the bigger get there. North Carolina might end up being, in my opinion, down the road, a bidding war between the SEC and the Big Ten. That's what I think.
Let's look into the game itself. Of course, Ohio State coming off of a bye last week. What do you think they're doing to help contain and stop Washington and the ability that they have to score a whole bunch of points? I know Coleman, the running back, has been outstanding for them. Do you have any fear whatsoever of a Buckeye defense maybe having a little bit of a lapse going up against these weapons, or is this just same old, same old?
Well, what makes Washington tough is Demond Williams, their quarterback, who basically is the size of Kyler Murray, and he's extremely quick, fast when he runs. He's also, as anybody can watch his highlights or watch his games like I did them play Washington State. He's a very good passer. So that is job one tomorrow for Ohio State, is figuring out a way to contain him. I remember when we were asking Caleb Downs about him. I think it was me asking him about him earlier this week, and he used this term, which I like the term. He said, you know, you've got to find a way to cage him with your front four. Cage him meaning he doesn't just leak out into a quick seam into the middle of the field or something. You've got to cage him, and if he does get away, and I'm paraphrasing this, he didn't say all this, but you want him to escape backside, not front side. And so the main thing is, don't let him knock off. He's going to make some plays, but don't let him make 15 of them with his feet. And then on top of that, you still got to cover those guys. So this is a more interesting test to me against Ohio State's defense than even Texas was, because Texas just couldn't get the buggy off the trailer, man, you know, until the fourth quarter. And then it was too late. But this will be an interesting test. But Ohio State, I keep reminding people, Ohio State's very talented, man. Very. I don't know why I'm saying man after every point. I guess I'm just trying to make a point. I'm sounding more like Jimbo Fisher. But Ohio State's extremely talented. And on the defensive side of the ball, but they've got to also be disciplined and a little bit, maybe more another term, patient tomorrow, while also trying to force the action. So it's a very interesting tourniquet they've got to turn.
Is this the kind of game that defines Julian Sain a little bit more than some of the teams that we've seen? I mean, Texas was Texas, and that, but it's still first game of the season. But what are we looking at when we talk about Julian Sain now in the growth pattern?
Number one, Texas has got a better defense than Washington. I don't want to go off on that hyperbole.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, they like to play man. They like them to play man coverage. And, you know, Jeremiah Smith is, when I was asking him about that earlier this week, also, he was made available. You know, he looks forward to any type of man coverage where, in fact, you know, you may, as I like to say, a lot of people run what I call a lean-to defense when it comes to Jeremiah Smith. They may not blatantly be double-teaming him, but they lean to him with a safety and stuff. But, if he and Carnell Tate play their game, there should be some opportunities tomorrow for some big plays in the passing game, which brings it back to the launcher, which is just saying. I'm just saying.
Go ahead, Dan. You ask him. I can't even ask him. Go.
I mean, if you're playing at lean too, which I like that term. I might steal that from you, Tim. I'll give you credit. Don't worry. If you're playing that style, does this mean that Tate will be wide open quite often?
Wait a minute, first time caller.
Yes, sir.
I used this on the same radio channel. Yes. Last year. Yes. Yeah. I started using the lean to defense when it came to Jeremiah Smith. But go ahead, first time caller.
No. Long time listener. Don't forget, long time listener.
Ding.
Long time hoster.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, is this a big Tate game in your mind then? Is this where you look to Carnell Tate and go, all right, buddy, let's hop on your back and let's roll?
Oh, I think it could be for either one of them. Because, yeah, you know, when you play man coverage, man, and running, like I said, that lean-to deal with your safety, there will be opportunities. And the opportunities may come more in the intermediate area of the field than deep, you know, like bombs away or short. You know, you're definitely going to try to get guys in motion, like with Jeremiah Smith, bring him across the formation, see what all flips over on the other side of the ball before and after the snap, things like that. So I would think Jeremiah Smith would touch the ball six to eight times tomorrow, minimum from the line of scrimmage. And he might even get some carries like he had, you know, against the Wolves of Ohio U with the end around. So they've got to use him in these kind of situations, because the main thing is, this is a tough place to play. It's loud as heck. Notice I backed off there because this is a PG program.
Right.
It's loud as heck and a great setting, but you can't let the host team plus the crowd get on you. Now you've got problems. So I would see Ohio State. There's two ways to quiet a crowd. You guys know this. Either a long sustained drive that they that just puts them in agony, or just a big time play or two And I know those are dichotomies almost, but they're, I don't even know what dichotomy means, but it sounds cool. But it's the way it's, they're almost, they're, I know they, clash with each other, but the bottom line is there are two ways to really quiet a big home crowd, and they're expecting a ridiculous crowd tomorrow.
I have 30 seconds less than ready.
Beth Page Black like.
Oh,
which did the Americans no good. Go ahead.
Bo Jackson plus or minus 100 yards.
Oh, I think he's got a shot.
Okay.
So finals. I'm going to say I'm going to go with the positive. I'm going to go with the plus.
Oh, I like it. And then final score.
I like Ohio State something like 41-21, something like that.
41-21. Tim May, thank you. Appreciate you. You're a good man.
It's always a pleasure being on with you fellas. You know that.
Of course. We love having you on. You're the man.
USA. USA.
God, can we fly across the country and hit a 10-footer? Holy mackerel.
Oh, my goodness,
please,
man.
Please.
Kenley, I thought they were going to blow that last one. I was listening on the SiriusXM. I go, you got to be kidding me. This is home soil. This is home soil.
Good gravy.
All right, Tim, I'm going to get in trouble. Hey, enjoy, go get some sleep, man. And go have a steak at the Metropolitan. Charge it to any of your old employers. Goodbye. Talk to you later.
You got it, brother.
Bye.
See you, man.
All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.